Chapter 15. Good Angels More Powerful Than Evil, by Ellen G. White. It is expressly stated that Satan works in the children of disobedience, not merely having access to their minds, but working through their influence, conscious and unconscious, to draw others into the same disobedience. If evil angels have such power over the children of men in their disobedience, how much greater power the good angels have over those who are striving to be obedient. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ, working obedience unto righteousness, angels of God work in our hearts unto righteousness. Power of Satan limited. Angels came and ministered to our Lord in the wilderness of temptation. Heavenly angels were with him during all the period in which he was exposed to the assaults of satanic agencies. These assaults were more severe than man has ever passed through. Everything was at stake in behalf of the human family. In this conflict, Christ did not frame his words even. He depended upon, "It is written." In this conflict, the humanity of Christ was taxed as none of us will ever know. The Prince of Life and the Prince of Darkness met in terrible conflict. But Satan was unable to gain the least advantage in word or in action. These were real temptations, no pretense. Christ suffered being tempted. Angels of heaven were on the scene on that occasion and kept the standard uplifted that Satan should not exceed his bounds and overpower the human nature of Christ. In the last temptation, Satan presented to Christ the prospect of gaining the whole world with all its glory if he would only worship him who claimed to be sent of God. Christ must then issue his command. He must then exercise authority above all satanic agencies. Divinity flashed through humanity, and Satan was peremptorily repulsed. "Get thee hence, Satan," Christ said, "for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." It was enough. Satan could go no farther. Angels ministered to the Savior. Angels brought him food. The severity of this conflict no human mind can compass. The welfare of the whole human family and of Christ himself was at stake. One admission from Christ, one word of concession, and the world would be claimed by Satan as his. And he, the prince of the power of darkness, would, he supposed, commence his rule. There appeared unto Christ an angel from heaven, for the conflict ended. Human power was ready to fail, but all heaven sang the song of eternal victory. The human family have all the help that Christ had in their conflicts with Satan. They need not be overcome. They may be more than conquerors through him who has loved them and given his life for them. Ye are bought with a price. And what a price! The Son of God, in his humanity, wrestled with the very same fierce, apparently overwhelming temptations that assail men. Temptations to indulgence of appetite, to presumptuous venturing where God has not led them, and to the worship of the God of this world. To sacrifice an eternity of bliss for the fascinating pleasures of this life. Everyone will be tempted. But the word declares that we shall not be tempted above our ability to bear. We may resent, resist, and defeat the wily foe. Every soul has a heaven to win and a hell to shun. And the angelic agencies are all ready to come to the help of the tried and tempted soul. He, the Son of the infinite God, endured the test and trial in our behalf. The cross of Calvary stands vividly before every soul. When the cases of all are judged, and they are delivered to suffer for their contempt for God and their disregard of his honor in their disobedience, not one will have an excuse. Not one will need to have perished. It was left to their own choice who should be their prince, Christ or Satan. All the help Christ received, every man may receive in the great trial. The cross stands as a pledge that not one need be lost, that abundant help is provided for every soul. We can conquer the satanic agencies, or we can join ourselves with the powers that seek to counterwork the work of God in our world. We have an advocate pleading in our behalf. The Holy Ghost is continually engaged in beholding our course of action. We need now keen perception, that by our own practical godliness, the truth may be made to appear truth as it is in Jesus. The angelic agencies are messengers from heaven, actually ascending and descending, keeping earth in constant connection with the heaven above. These angel messengers are observing all our course of action. They are ready to help all in their weakness, guarding all from moral and physical danger according to the providence of God. And whenever souls yield to the softening, subduing influence of the Spirit of God under these angel ministrations, there is joy in heaven. The Lord Himself rejoices with singing.
Men take altogether too much glory to themselves. It is the work of heavenly agencies cooperating with human agencies according to God's plan that brings the result in the conversion and sanctification of the human character. We cannot see, and could not endure, the glory of angelic ministrations if their glory was not veiled in condescension to the weakness of our human nature. The blaze of the heavenly glory, as seen in the angels of light, would extinguish earthly mortals. Angels are working upon human minds, just as these minds are given to their charge. They bring precious remembrances fresh before the mind, as they did to the women about the sepulchre. A created instrumentality is used in heaven's organized plan for the renewing of our nature, working in the children of disobedience, obedience unto God. The guardianship of the heavenly host is granted to all who will work in God's ways and follow His plans. We may, in earnest, contrite prayer, call the heavenly helpers to our side. Invisible armies of light and power will work with the humble, meek, and lowly one. Thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Read also verses 16 to 19.